cliffcentral.com.
Hello, hello, hello there. From me, Liesl Tom, welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. I have to say, I had to shift gears there from Taylor Swift shaking it off to our lovely Tibetan singing bowls. You'll understand why we had that music in a little while. To our controller, Palesa Mabuye. Hello, girl.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. And then, as always, with me in studio, Shemaine.
Yep, I am indeed right here. You know, as always, I wouldn't miss this for the world because, I mean, I really love doing this show. And I love, you know, our guests. I learn so much every week. So again, welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. Yes! Good to have you. So enjoy the three quarters of an hour with us. In studio, we have, a young man who's, who uses some healing modality, which I haven't heard about until very recently, but apparently it's been around for a while. We're talking to Driekus Blom, and the Driekus is with a C, D-R-I-C-K-U-S, Blom, you know, without the H. So you can go and, you know, Google him if you want. people will find you, because that's how I found you, you know. It was one of those things where we're going like, what is T-R-E? And who can speak about it? So what is T-R-E?
Firstly, thank you for having me.
Welcome.
So T-R-E is part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful modality and a self-healing tool,
mm-hmm.
a self-help. Enriching, bringing back to yourself. There's so many things, and letting go.
Yeah, and that is trauma release exercises.
Trauma release exercises, or T-R-E.
Uh-huh.
And people are misled by thinking it's exercises, but it's not really about the exercises. There's more. It's just using your body's natural process to actually let go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all have this a mechanism of release, and it's using the exercises to engage the brain using the muscles to induce a neurogenic tremor, which is a vibration,
mm-hmm.
and any muscle in your body can do this vibration, and through this there's a wonderful activation of your neurogenic tremor.
How long have you known about this type of healing exercise?
So for me, I've been, maybe 6 years ago, I came across, through my own healing process, I came across a lady that introduced this to me. And then she recommended, maybe you should go for a training. And initially, I was also quite skeptical, having this weird...
Which is good, eh? Having skepticism
yes.
is often a good thing, because then you can sift through it yourself.
Exactly. And then you can really... really do that research yourself. And through my own experience of this, I was so intrigued of how does this work?
Talk about it. What happened? That, you know, your experience.
Yeah, and my experience was that I had a major operation, and through that my body was traumatized. I didn't even realize, the doctor said, no, it's a minor procedure, but my body was still holding on to so much. And so it was quite an interesting experience, because I was then led by another provider who's then certified as a TRE provider recently, and she just wanted clients.
Mm.
And so I experienced this, and then I did some research, and she said, there's something to this. I then attended a workshop in Cape Town, where David Pacelli, who's the founder of this wonderful process, came out, and this was the last time he was in South Africa. I did my level one, because there's different levels you need to do.
Okay, so level one is what?
Working with individuals. And mostly what the training is about in doing your own work. And really... going to the depths of your own stuff. We all have stories. We all have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go there in a safe space. And I did my level one and then thought, I then was studying something else as well. I have a degree in human physiology as well, and so very scientific background, and this is quite alternative. And but still I was intrigued. And then I did my level two. And on my level two, we learned to work with groups, which is also a wonderful experience, because then in that you create this little community of people that release their process and release their stuff in a group, in a community. And so they start sharing and caring about each other. So after a few sessions, I don't really have to do that much other than just facilitate this little wonderful group.
Okay.
Because when you say your body was holding on to trauma, how do you know this? What does it feel in your body if you're holding on to trauma?
And most people experience it as a tension. We all think stress is held in our body. And trauma is just an accelerated or an advanced level of stress. And so we hold it by having anxiety, sleeplessness, and a lot of symptoms that is an activation in your body.
Okay. When you say a lot of symptoms, you can elaborate on how many other symptoms, because obviously somebody might be listening and going, oh, so he left out this symptom, you know?
Yes.
So which others are there?
Attention deficit disorder is a major one, because we get brain fog and we're not don't concentrate that well. Because if your body thinks that it's actually running away from a lion, which is happening during your stress response, it doesn't matter if you think of your
if even it's not
food.
The case, yeah.
Or remember to pick up your kids.
Exactly. And so people struggle with maybe a brain fog.
Okay.
Which is a major. And also any stomach problems. I see a lot of youngsters that have major stomach problems. And when the school system is quite stressful. And so parents then bring their children to me, and I really assist and help them to really just let go.
Yeah. So when parents come to you, what do the kids present with? What do they say?
They have either a runny tummy or... their stomach doesn't work at all, or they struggle at school. They struggle to adapt in the social life of being a little, being out of the safety of their little home, in a classroom where they isolated, and maybe feel isolated.
So these exercises that tells me there's more than one. Is one of them a bit like tremoring? You know, when you watch horses, there's always the alpha will take out its frustrations on the next one, I think the beta, and then that one will take out his frustrations on the next one, and the last horse, the omega, sits with everybody's frustrations that gets dumped on him or her, and then they just tremor. They get these tremors going through their skin, and then they seem to be fine. Is it something like that?
Yeah, it's something similar, because we take on things from others, and it's similar in situations. So some people in certain households would be the glue that holds it all together, and that person will have to cope with everything. And so definitely this is a physical tremor, and one is lying on the floor and really allowing your body to process and go into that tremor.
Do you have to lie on the floor?
Ideally, yes, because you want to be in a safe space, because your whole body might need to process something. And on the floor, all your boundaries are let go and you can relax.
It's a very intimate thing to watch or to see when someone is in that space. How easy is it for people to let go? I mean, I don't know if... You know, unless I really know you very well, if I would go there, because you can. Do you want to explain what happens?
Yes, and that's why on the training that we do, because I've trained as a mentor in Gauteng now, I assist and support people in that, in the training. And the training is focused on your work. Because your nervous system needs to be safe. And first you need to deal with your stuff. And so if you can hold safety, someone else that feels vulnerable will come to you. Mm-hmm. And will be feel safe enough to lie on the floor and go through all these exercises and allow their body to process some trauma.
And you also, do you also have like a code where you can't talk about your clients, or do you also call them patients?
No, I call them clients, because the if you think about it, with patients you almost assume that something's wrong. And if we call them clients, you see them as yourself. Mm-hmm. And so each client comes to me and they teach me something new as well.
Because sometimes, and Tremaine, I'm sure you've heard this, just before you fall asleep, you get this jolt.
Yes.
Is that similar to this, what did you call it, neurogenic tremor? Is that it?
Yes, exactly. Because your body is then, before you sleep, in a very relaxed state, the stress of the day might have to be released. And the only way your body can do that is through a bit of a shake.
Lee, is that like a physical? Yes. Are you talking about a physical shake?
Yes.
But then what happens, because there are some that you get internally, like an electric shock. What's that all about then? Okay, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Then it's fine. If you don't know what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, then it's okay.
But these tremors can feel like an internal thing as well, an internal process, because we always think that big things need to happen for some release to happen. But deep processing is already happening in all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't even think about digestion. You don't think about it.
Right.
It just happens. Mm. And that's exactly the same thing. You don't have to think about processing stress and trauma, because your body naturally knows how to do it.
I'm still stuck on the fact that you mentioned ADHD. Because that's something you associate with a child, or someone was born with that. And I mean, and then, you know, adults also, you know, exhibit, but then it's kind of like, oh, I was never diagnosed and now I'm diagnosed and all that. And you mentioning that, and I'm going, okay, so is it something that you can pick up along the way, or is it something that you're born with?
It is something that you might get born with, but even in that, your birth is a trauma. It's not a supportive field for most people. As a little one coming, it should actually be very dull and muted sounds and lights and all of that. And so in that, you're ripped out of your mom or whatever, and that is traumatic. There's an activation that's going on in that. And your nervous system is already developed to a certain level when you're a little one.
Okay, so go a little into that one. Sorry, because like you're saying gets ripped out. So that for me is kind of like you had a cesarean.
Yes.
And then you have the ones where it goes on forever.
Exactly.
Or you have mothers who just don't have the skills, or they don't have the know-how, so they push. And what happens, the child's head comes out looking funny, but it's a battle for the kid. And then you have those that's just like normal, and then you have those that's water birth. Do you know what I mean? So that sounds supportive.
Yes.
Which child would then present with that kind of trauma?
And so all of them could, because it depends on the situation afterwards. Your birth is supposed to be stressful. It's like a butterfly that needs to be forced out of its little cocoon. Your sympathetic nervous system, which is your activating nervous system, needs to be activated. But through that, it needs to be assisted. It's a two-way process. The baby doesn't need to do all the work. Mommy doesn't need to do all the work. It's a teamwork. And most people don't know that. And if that little one is then born, either naturally with cesarean, whatever, it needs to be on mommy's body then, afterwards, so that mommy can regulate that. And then the parasympathetic, the relaxation part of our nervous system, then is engaged. And that's the natural way. But we are so, in our Western thinking, making this process actually quite unnatural.
So what happens then? This child comes to you with ADHD.
Yes.
And you start using these tremoring exercises or trauma releasing exercises on him, her. I can't call it it, can I? Do you cure them of ADD or ADHD?
It is a process because they've maybe be a little older, maybe 7 or 8, and so they've been held on to so much trauma already, and in that they already pick up a lot of coping styles and they mirror their parents and all of that. And what society says. Yeah. They go to school and this is wrong and that is wrong and the first solution that most people go to is putting them on drugs. And not saying that it's wrong, but it can be supportive.
But the drugs, you mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we need to support that little nervous system that's holding on to something. Mm-hmm. And so I won't say heal or fix or... But it is a process. And I normally, when I work with a little one, I work with the parents as well. Educating them on how to communicate with. Because within that ADHD, they normally have either a disconnect from their parents. They don't know how to communicate with them. And so I educate them about that. And I work with the parents as well because they also have their trauma.
Mm.
And in that family, we work together.
But you have seen results. You've seen improvements.
Very much so, yeah.
So why is this then not more in the open? Why are people not... Why don't people know about this?
That's why we're here!
Exactly. That's why we create... It's lovely to be here on this platform to let people know. But from my standpoint, I wanted to come to people organically. There's no forcing it. There's no, you need to come to me. I'm not going to see you if you don't want to come. Mm. And it's a sensitive process for most people. It's a very sensitive process. And it's quite foreign. We're so foreign from our bodies. In our Western world, we think so much.
Yeah. Mm.
People won't say, I feel this or I feel that. I think about that or I think this. I'll look at my environment and then reflect from that. I won't go inside my own body.
Do you know, that's one thing that I learned in the past few months, that you need to stop and listen to your body because it tells you the truth. And I mean, different people use various ways. One person did an exercise with me and said, just think of it like you would use a pendulum. And then you ask the body which is yes and which is no and which is undecided or maybe.
Yes.
And I went through this exercise. I was like, wow. Wow, that's amazing, you know. So talking about that societal thing, we live in South Africa.
Mm.
We, I believe, are all traumatized. And we're all battling with post-traumatic stress at some level. And it's playing out, you know. So how do you see it manifesting in our nation, this...
Oh, definitely. It is...
This trauma.
I would say that this country is really traumatized. Mm-hmm. We're really torn apart. And there's... On many levels, we are traumatized. But definitely, I see that even driving... You can't even drive somewhere.
You know, females and males.
Yes.
Mm. Males and older females, though. Older females. They go like, I'll clap you. I'll vux for you.
But even subconsciously, you might even not know that you're afraid to get into your car. And that's why people start having panic attacks, which I can't explain. Mm. Which is major in this country. People sitting with anxiety. I have people that say, I thought it was normal.
Mm-hmm, the panic.
And yes.
Yeah. I'm going to share something now that is very personal. Mm. I went through that. I mean, I'm not completely over it, but there was a point I could not do highway. Mm. And then it was. I also went for something like a healing modality with Helen van Diemen. So she hooked me up there. But it is the most you know, it's like a mental illness, you know. Mm. So it is you see this thing and it's inexplicable why you, but you know, but it's real. Mm. It's a real thing.
Exactly.
So that when you mention that people are even afraid to get in their cars and they don't know why, it is trauma. And it doesn't necessarily in our case have to be about the country. It could just be personal life trauma that manifests in that way.
Yeah.
So what do you do then? What can that person come and get from you if you go like, look?
And so I offer support. Okay. My rooms I set up to be a very safe space for them to come and really be vulnerable. And so I work with them, supporting them, but also allowing them to experience even their anxiety and panic attacks in a different way. And not saying, okay, it's going to completely go away immediately, maybe in a little while. But
when you say a little while, do you give them like hours or sessions? Is that
normally sessions?
Okay, which would be around about minimum?
A minimum of 4 sessions is my normal recommendation. But it's difficult because we all have different coping styles. We all are different. We're unique. And so the way that you feel safe is unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so even within that, I allow them to be empowered to say, how do you feel? Where are you in your process? And will be an open communication to say, okay, let's rather support you. And I have a lot of new people at the moment because it seems like January was like very stressful, and then February people want to get back to themselves and start the year in a new way.
When someone like a police official or a soldier come to you, could this benefit them? Because I think, especially for me, the police, I think the level of trauma they operate at is, and paramedics. Have you seen what paramedics go through?
Yes.
Can you help them?
Yes, definitely. And because they might be so traumatized and so stuck in that trauma that they don't want to talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And what they're offered is a debriefing session after some incident maybe. And they have to talk about it. And their system or their nervous system is so charged they can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we offer them could be a major benefit to either do it themselves, because within this process, I coach you to go through it yourself, but also through support.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in a group environment, I've heard of a group of police officials, I think it was in Durban, that was doing this process, but in a group environment, because initially they would just go through the process and allow their bodies to do the talking or their tremoring. But after a few sessions, they might start sharing their experience. And that through their community of sharing, then the talking will be through organic nature almost come out.
I have to say, I've had a few harrowing experiences in my previous career as a crime reporter. And I found that I couldn't talk for much of it afterwards, and if people tried to force me to talk, I would get aggressive. And once all the trauma got, I don't know, dissipated somehow. I mean, I didn't know about this, but it's only then that I could start talking. So I fully get what you're saying. They can't talk, and it's not because I didn't want to. I mean, I talked because it was my job. It was my job to report on it. But in my own private time, I couldn't speak about the things that I had seen.
Yeah, and maybe you were so in that trauma that it's exactly the same idea, as that our nervous system is programmed to either go into that fight, flight response or freeze and or be safe. And your body was so in that activation that your body's thinking, okay, I'm still running away from the lion. Mm-hmm. I don't need to talk while I'm running away from the lion. When the lion has gone, the fear would subside. And maybe through your own healing process, you could find safety and then talk about it.
Mm. So what about secondary trauma or victimization. I mean, I didn't experience all these horrible things, yet I felt traumatized by them.
Yes.
How does this work?
If you look at it, there's different types of trauma, and that would be an example of vicarious trauma, where if someone else even tells you the story, and in that your body also starts reacting, starts experiencing what is being told to it, and it's an activation already in your body. And so your body can then hold that if it doesn't know how to cope with it.
Wow. So this is very good for people who can't talk. So, but what if you combine the two? Because, I mean, some people go like, no, just that nonsense. What if you combine the two? You get the counseling or the debriefing, or the counseling and the debriefing and the TRE exercises. How much would that speed up one's ability to heal?
Exactly. That would be a wonderful package that could be offered for people like police officers or so.
Or soldiers.
Yeah,
or men.
Or men.
Men,
yeah,
who can't talk. Men, yes, were told that you're not allowed to have emotions openly. How much trauma does that induce in males, though? That specific one that we grew up with, saying you're not allowed to feel or show emotions. How much trauma is that?
Oh, my word. I don't even know how to go into that, because I think then we skip the fight-flight response and go immediately into a freeze of having to stop everything and suppress it. And so the body still holds on to all of that reactions. Your body, your nervous system is still going to go into the fight-flight, but there's no expression that's going to be on that. And so people will be deeply, deeply traumatized. And stuck, their bodies, normally males, I can see in their bodies, their chest is tight and their shoulders tight, or holding on to all of this emotions and stuff.
And then it comes out in a punch. And maybe that's why some men, every now and again, they need to hit one another really bad. And you go like, so much blood. But it's like, they don't care. They just go at it and you go, but stop it. And they go like, no. And it's, you know, that whole thing where you...
That aggressive, testosterone-driven male thing.
Or you just held it so... when you've been angry for so long, but you held it in and held it in. And then one day, somebody triggers smallest thing ever, you go. You're like, I lost it. I don't care. I'm going to kill you. Right now. Somebody don't stop me.
Yes. And the trauma might be so active in their body that little trigger can send them over the edge. Mm-hmm. And within that aggressive nature, which is not a healthy release maybe, but they get some form of release. And that's why maybe in a few months they'll do it again, because their system just wants some release.
They realized hitting someone was good for me.
Yes, there was some release.
Some reaction, at least.
But apparently animals do this automatically. Nobody needs to teach them. They do that automatically. How do you know when your animal does that? I mean, for people with pets, they obviously, you know, you see them and you know what they do. But how do they do it? What do you see when they're busy releasing that energy?
And it will also be like a vibration or a tremor in their bodies. The little buck. And there's lovely videos on YouTube that you can look at. Even if you look at trauma release, there would be some in nature.
You mean the buck when they shake.
That's when they, and
goodness.
Sometimes they even jump, or when there's no lion, they'll have little movements that they do. And if you even look at your dog, when it went to bark at the neighbor's dog and it comes back, it sometimes shakes itself and yawns and all of that.
Oh, is yawning also part of it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's shaking and yawning as part of release. That I know, because, you know, sometimes you just go like, and what about sneezing? We're not talking about a dust-infested place. What about sneezing?
It might be a release. It depends on what's happening in your nasal passages. It might be totally very tight and you have some trauma there. So that you might need to sneeze to get some release out of that. Okay. But your body does lots of temperature changes, like when it's not cold, your feet feel cold. And in a process, we also have that where someone's feet feel cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so we guide them through that to rather work with it and not go into panic, my feet is freezing or whatever.
So we're talking about trauma-releasing exercises. We've touched on a few. What others are there? Because what I want to get at is I want you to explain to our listeners what to do if they've just been lucky and escaped a car accident. What do you do?
Or can you do it without assistance initially?
Can you
do
it
without
assistance?
Or do you need to go for training first so that you can be shown how to? So,
okay, let's start with the exercises. What are the exercises?
So the exercises are specifically developed to work around your core muscle, because your core muscle is your major muscle that allows you to adapt. In if we would have a bomb go off next door or something, we would all react by pulling ourselves inward, by protecting all your major organs, and that's your core muscle that reacts. But now the exercises are developed to work against that. We work from the ankles up to the middle in specific way, because you sometimes need to stretch, and also need to stress because we're now communicating with the brain. That's we're getting out of a stressful reaction. And then we lie down and we have that. And so I won't recommend doing this by yourself, mm-hmm. because you need to be in a safe environment. And your body only knows its safe as you are. It doesn't know, and if you're activated, you're not in safety for yourself. So you can't hold that for yourself even. And so my recommendation is find someone in your area. We've got a few people, or find a group in your area. There's a few groups that I know of that's starting out now,
mm-hmm.
at the start of the year. That can offer you support.
But this is only in the beginning.
In the beginning.
You work your way up to where you can actually do it yourself, but you need assistance. Is that what you're saying, to get there?
Yes. And and I'll also see and almost do a little assessment to see, okay, where are you at? How safe do you feel? Do you feel comfortable doing this? Because I'm not going to say, go do it, and then the next week you haven't done it.
Yeah.
Because you don't feel safe.
Trikus, one of the ways that this sounds really maybe a bit bizarre, the question, but some ways our bodies also release stress in that when it starts relaxing, is by vomiting and by peeing. Do you get people who go into that?
Definitely move? Nausea, a lot of nausea, and it's all around that where the organs maybe is so suppressed when they're activated,
mm-hmm.
that when you start relaxing, that the body wants to then release what's held in those organs as well.
Do you get any maybe not repercussions, but opposition from the medical society, like doctors, and they go like, oh, those charlatans, they're going off and they, you know, actually just damaging people more. Do you ever get that?
Yes, definitely. But people are being more educated. And so they're asking the doctor as well, what do they think? And then the doctor needs to do their research.
Mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, there's a network of doctors that actually refer people to TRE providers, because the people that wants to live more naturally, more authentically, they don't want to use a medication, and so they're looking for alternatives.
And that's happening a lot these days. Eh? Mm-hmm. We don't want to put stuff in our bodies.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Yes.
Some of us don't want to put stuff in our bodies. Other people can't wait to put as much junk as possible into
their
bodies.
But again, trauma. Talk to us about those ones.
How do you know if you... I'm talking about people who, you know, are taking prescription drugs and alcohol and who knows what else, just to try and make themselves feel better. Yeah. Are they candidates? If someone's listening and they think, maybe that's me, are they then a candidate for TRE treatment?
Yes, definitely. Because we'd work very gently with them, because I don't go into a judgment and say, okay, what you're doing is wrong, because that might be the only way that they actually know how to cope. And so I've had a client recently who the only thing that could keep her sane is smoking. And I said, go smoke. Go have a smoke. And even during session, when things start getting too much for her, we went out and she had a smoke. Because that was her only resource, her only way out. But through time and support, she could then come back to herself and say, okay, then maybe the smoking is not ideal for me. I can find healthier ways to actually deal with my stuff.
And did she quit smoking? Because what I'm trying to get at is, can you help someone who maybe has not a full-blown alcoholic? I'm not sure if that's quite where we're pitching this. But if someone has a dependency on alcohol, can you help them get rid of that?
Yes, and I won't say get rid of it completely, because it is a complex process. And maybe there's so much trauma that needs to be dealt with that they really need support. But I've definitely seen where people even just become more healthy. Not maybe stopping all the drinking that much, but I for myself was on medication. I have a heart condition, and through this process and using my body's natural way, I've now gone off meat, so I don't eat any meat. And I...
Was that something you wanted to do?
It just arose naturally.
Okay.
It's like my body didn't want it anymore.
All right.
I really became sick. And so I don't say everybody's going to have that. We all are unique. But I'm on no medications and no dependency on that. But we all have coping styles, coping things that we use in our lives. And it just depends on how do you go into... a reaction over that. And smoking and drinking things that are not healthy is not ideal. And through support, I definitely think that something like that can be helped and assisted.
Where do you go when you need to release? You were talking about the vicarious
trauma.
So
yes,
what do you do?
I have a constant almost supervision and looking after myself. Every second week or every week sometimes, I go for my own sessions where I have a lady that I trust and feel safe with to allow me, and she's a wonderful friend of mine, to allow myself, my body to relax and release.
Do you feel like you're the keeper of people's secrets?
On some level, yes, but not really, because people share the intimate stories and secrets, but... it's not that I have to hold on to it.
Okay.
It's not mine to hold.
Wow.
They're just sharing it with me.
And then you release.
Yes, and I have my own story. So they can have their stories.
Trickers, when we talk about nervous tics or someone who's, I don't know, Shemaine, when you're in a, you know, when you're a little bit impatient and you drum your fingers or you move your foot the whole time. Are those our body's subconscious way of releasing
energy?
It is totally possible that can be your own way of wanting to release. And you could see that person is very stressed normally, and they're quite charged in that. And so maybe that's the only way that they know how to then release.
But how do you get people to do this tremor? Because ever since Shemaine mentioned it to me, I've been trying to actively do what I've seen the horses do, like shake it off, like Taylor Swift says. And there we go. That's why we played that song. But I can't do it. How do you get people to shake?
Go for a
right.
session.
Yes.
Is there a shake right? Oh, that's
is
that's
there a wrong shake?
Is there a wrong and a right shake? Can you see the trauma versus in terms of how much more or how less trauma?
And so we don't try and do that, because it is not that one is better or that a bigger shake is going to release a bigger trauma. It might be just a bigger muscle group that is affected. And so within that... and it's difficult because it's not a a conscious thinking, okay, I'm going to shake my arm now. Mm. It's using your muscles to communicate back to your brain, because this tremor mechanism, this neurogenic tremor, is activated from your brainstem. And through the muscles being stressed and stretched, you activate the sympathetic and then the parasympathetic. And so this tremor mechanism will initiate naturally.
Yeah, because it is, after all, an exercise. It takes you through stages. It's not like you're just going to go lie down there.
And, yes, and that's exactly the thing, is that I'm not going to initiate it by thinking just about it. Initially, you need to retrain your body, because you've been trained to hold on, be stiff, don't show emotion.
Would someone who practices yoga or Pilates, would they fall into this easier?
Much easier. And some of them struggle because their bodies are almost pre-programmed to be very supple and very loose. And so activating the muscles can be quite a trouble. Mm. And the people that gym, they struggle the most because they've maybe disconnected so much from their muscles that they struggle to do the exercises.
Your headspace, if you're going to go for this kind of exercise experience, your headspace, what must it be, to go there and get something from it?
I think you just need to go open-minded.
Okay.
Very open-minded. And there's no, it's not something weird. We all have this in our bodies. It's natural. And so just come and experience it. It's the best way to have an experience of it. And even if you do it for once, mm-hmm. you can have an experience of this wonderful mechanism.
I think we have run out of time, so it would be lovely to go on. But I think that's a good place to stop. Thank you so very much, Drikas.
It's a great pleasure.
That's Drikas Blom, and he is a trainer. Can I say that it's a trainer?
No, I'm an advanced provider and mentor. I'm going to go on training to actually do more.
Okay. Where can people get hold of you?
They can either find me at TRE for Africa. They can phone me if they want to.
Okay.
My number is 072-3869-226. Send me a WhatsApp rather than phone me.
Okay, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. Go download, tell your friends about us, and spread the information, spread the news. I'm Shemaine Harris. Thank you. Bye-bye for now.
And from me, Liesl Tom, have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye. CliffCentral.com